while we were singing, worshiping the Lord, that thought suddenly just entered my heart and I just contemplated it for a while. And that was when Jesus performed his earthly ministry. He often would say to people, "What would you have me do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Sometimes it was so obvious. They were blind, they were deaf, they were crippled. But yet he would still say to them, "What would you have me do for you?" And I just thought, if His Majesty, walking up and down His church this morning, said to you, said to me, "What would you have me do for you?" I wonder what our reply would be. I wonder whether it's that, in my instance, aching hip. Or I wonder whether it's we're a bit short this week. Lord, I could do with. I wonder what we would reply. Remember when God came to Solomon and he said to Solomon, roughly the same words, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Solomon said, when he could have said a million things, he said to God Almighty, "I want you to give me wisdom, that I might judge your people correctly." And you know, because Solomon asked and placed the wisdom of God priority in his life, did you notice what God did for him through his life? And this is Pentecost Sunday, as we've already been told, and I'm thanking God that Pentecost Sunday is in my diary. It's a diary date. It ain't been taken out. It's still there on our calendars, Pentecost Sunday. Glory to God. Thank God in the Scriptures there was a Pentecost Sunday. So if God said to you this morning, right where you sat, "What would you have me to do for you?" Can I honestly reply and say, "Oh God, pour out your Spirit afresh in my heart, in my life, in my family. Pour out your Spirit afresh." But somebody might be saying, "Yeah, brother, but I need to know how to pay my bills next week." Oh, brother and sister, you know, when we ask for the right things from God, when we say to God what's on God's heart already for us, "Pour your Spirit on me, Lord," I want to tell you there's healing, there's financial provision, there is provision for everything you'll ever need in life when His presence is outpoured upon us. Glory to God. Oh Lord, pour your Spirit out. You say, "Years ago, you know, brother, I used to pray for God to pour His Spirit out. I used to say, 'Lord, send revival.' And we've been praying for years and nothing's happened. I kind of tend to think that if I pray for revival and ask God to pour out His Spirit, it just like bounces to the ceiling and comes straight back down and hits me in the face. What's the point?" The point is, brother, the point is, sister, that in this precious book, the Word of God says this: in the last days, does anybody doubt that we're in the last days? In the last days, when they're talking about transgender, when they're talking about this, that, and the other, they're just like blowing our minds. When we're thinking what they're going to come out with next. And sure enough, it comes out next week. And we think, "God, we've got the skids under us. We seem to just be going down and down and down. Ain't there anybody that can see that our nation is in great need?" And I say again, church, what are we in need of? What are we in need of? We've got some good pastors. We've got a fine building. We've got a lovely congregation, and I'm not being facetious. I'm not just trying to like give you a little pat on the back and then go out and talk about you. We've got a great congregation, but I want to say, brother and sister, the greatest need of this house, of all our churches in Britain, is for a mighty, mighty, mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit to revive our hearts again. Let's read the famous scriptures, can we? Acts chapter 2. You say, is he a Pentecostal? I mean by denomination, you know. I want to say, no, I'm not. But I'm a Pentecostal in my heart. If there was a day of Pentecost, there must have been a reason for it. There must have been a need for such a day. The Holy Spirit wasn't outpoured just on people who were saved in recent days. Some of those disciples had seen some big things happen. And yet they needed a day in their lives, the day of Pentecost. Let's read it. Chapter 2, here we go, just a few verses there. And it says this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Oh, I don't like that kind of stuff. Oh, I just like to go to church and have me three hymns, and I don't want nobody shaking around me. Oh, if somebody starts getting a bit excited, I'm doing a runner. Brother and sister, don't tell the Holy Spirit how to do church. Please don't tell him what your preferences are. He comes to represent the Godhead. And when he comes on the behalf of the head of the church, our Lord Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit comes and works amongst us, then I'm not on about the flesh. I can't stand the flesh cavorting and doing its stuff. I don't want the flesh. I want the anointing of the Holy Ghost that moves in mighty power, that while he's doing something over here, he's doing something over there. And while he's doing something over both ends, he's doing something right here. Holy Spirit, come and do what only you can do. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Are you happy if the Holy Spirit does things amongst us? Are you happy if he does things you've never seen before? Can you receive the Holy Spirit from doing the work of God amongst us? Or do we have to put little, well, so long as that don't happen, and so long as this don't happen, then I'm all right. Brother and sister, so long as it's in Scripture, I'm all right. Was this some new fandangled religion that was being birthed in Jerusalem at that time? Was this something that they'd never seen before, they'd never heard of, that was breaking out, somebody's gone a little bit skew-whiffed? Let me just read verse 4 of chapter 1, and it says, being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you all at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Glory to God. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit was not for a little tingle down my spine. God Almighty had a purpose. He had a calendar date. He had a time and a season when he wanted to do something in the church, in this fledgling church, that would make them able to stand before powers, before demons, before authorities of every kind, and be a witness for the King of Kings. If ever we want to see anything in this church, in these dark days in which we live in, is we want to see the power of God, because the church has got the anointing, reaching out to the community, and them being delivered by God. We've got a big guy that comes, he's from the Caribbean, to the lighthouse, and he's telling everybody in the last few weeks, there, God's healed me. Isn't it lovely when they are the witnesses? He's had something happen in his life. There, God has healed me. What he means is, and there's a name for it that I can't say, his heels have been very painful. To walk has been a problem. And he's a big, big guy. And they prayed for him at the lighthouse. It weren't church, it was the bacon, egg, and tomatoes job. But I want to tell you, friend, when the Holy Spirit is amongst us, the Holy Spirit, whether it's bacon, egg, and tomatoes or whatever it is, he can still represent Jesus and move in life to show that he is God. And God's healed the guy. And he's trooping in. He got flip-flops on Thursday. And he's trooping in. And I said, hey, I'll not say his name. Hey, how you doing? He says, I'm doing great. I can wear these things now. Oh, brother and sister, that the church might have the power to do what God wants it to do in this day and generation. We've just come to church, and did you see all the cans out there? That means that somebody's been sat right there, maybe for hours. Others have been shooting needles in their arms. How do you know? I didn't see last night, but I've seen before. And what we need this church to be is to have a great, mighty visitation from God that will meet the needs on the streets where they're at and show that he is on the throne. He is above all powers, all problems, all dominions. And when we speak the name of Jesus, we have the authority to speak that name. So I want to say this morning, my little title is Welcome, Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Because when they met on the day of Pentecost, they had to meet for days. So if you're here for a week or two, it don't matter, does it? The Acts of the Apostles is an account of the ongoing life of Christ through the church. If you've never read about how God does things, how Jesus wants his church to be, this next week, read through from chapter 1 to right to the end of how God did things, moved things in that period of time. It's a map. It's a symbol of what God wants his church to be. They knew that the Son of God had died. He had been buried. And we know the story of the glorious resurrection. They knew that. Jesus had appeared, not once, not twice, but the Bible tells us he appeared many times after his resurrection. He'd brought to them truths. He'd unlocked the scriptures that they might understand, prophetic word. And here he is in chapter 1 telling the fledgling church, I'm going to my Father. But when I've gone to my Father, I'm going to not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And I want you to wait until you've been endued with power from on high. And my friend, let me say to anybody here, however much learning you've got or not, there's nothing you can do in this kingdom by your talent or by your intelligence. You could have degrees coming out your ear holes. And I'm not being facetious. Thank God for those who can learn well and do good. But I want to say in this kingdom, they don't count much. In the big wide world, they count a lot. And in my employment days, I used to have to employ people with degrees, etc., etc. But I want to say, friends, we're in a different kingdom now. And it doesn't operate by talent. We could have the most talented people playing the instruments on a morning and it be as dead can be. But we've been to some countries when all they've got is a guitar with two strings and it should have six. And I've looked as the drum skins, I used to have a set of drums, and there's a big slit right across the snare drum. And you think, my God, this is going to sound marvelous, isn't it? This is going to sound wonderful. And they've stood up and started to worship Jesus. They've started to play on two strings. They've started to bang a drum that's got a kind of emptiness to it. But because the anointing of God's Spirit came down, it has transported you to heavenly places. And we've seen the manifest power of God. That while they've been playing their instruments, the Holy One has been touching lives. And somebody shouted out from over here, I can see, I can see. And nobody touched them. At the same time, over this side, people are climbing out of wheelchairs and they're lifting them, the young people, lifting them up and glorifying God because the Spirit of God came down. And I want to say when we gather together, oh, brother and sister, may the Spirit of the Lord come amongst us. I want you to wait, said Jesus. I want you to wait until you've been endued with power from on high. I want to say very politely and carefully, have you ever had a day of Pentecost? In your personal life? Have you ever had a time when even though you've seen some amazing things in church circles, I wonder whether God has ever brought you to the place when he said, it's time for you. You need to be filled with my Spirit. And when you think of these disciples, they'd ate with him, they slept with Jesus, they'd seen the most amazing miracles anybody could ever witness. They'd seen him command the wind and the waves, and at his command, peace came to the whole situation. But they still needed a day of Pentecost. They still needed when the mighty Holy Spirit filled their personal life. Wasn't just a story to tell. It wasn't just a testimony of somebody else. They needed their own encounter with the Holy Spirit. They needed that moment when the Spirit of God began to fill them and a fire began to burn in their hearts. And the sense that God was awesome became so real to their lives. I suggest not from a denominational point of view, but from the experiences that Jesus wanted his people to encounter. I want to suggest, my dear brother and sister, every one of us in this place need a day of Pentecost. a day that we can refer to. I'm thanking God that all of you, if not most of you, can say, I know when I was born again. I know when my sins were washed away. I don't need anybody to tell me I'm born again. I know I am. Glory. Well, because you can be so positive about the new birth experience, can you be positive today and say, I know I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I know there was a day when I had an encounter with God like I've never, ever known in my entire life. For these, they've been gathering. There's about 120 of them. They were obeying what Jesus said. And it was a feast day in Jerusalem. They traveled from all over the world because it was like harvest Thanksgiving. The word Pentecost is a Greek word. They didn't call it Pentecost. They called it the Feast of Days. Back in the Old Testament, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you will find references to this feast day. And you know today, right now, in Jerusalem, we've got some friends who live in Jerusalem, and they've contacted Pam to say that the Christians will be gathering together in Jerusalem, and they'll be having a day of waiting upon God. They'll be having a day of saying, Lord, pour out your spirit again. Pour out your spirit on the streets of Jerusalem again. And I thank God, isn't that a wonderful picture? Where even today, people are praying and saying, oh God, fill my life afresh. I don't want my infilling of the Holy Spirit to be a 20 years ago experience. The Bible teaches us about being filled and keeping filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't want a dried up Christian life. I don't want people to come to my life when I'm testifying of Jesus, whether it's in prisons or lighthouse or wherever, and people find a dusty, rusty old Christian that used to have a good time but looks as miserable as sin today. I don't want that kind of Christian life. I want my life in God to get greater, more filled, more dynamic than ever I've known in the past. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Oh God, fill us again. Fill us afresh. Fill me every day with your spirit, oh Lord. And so they were there. Thousands of Jews had gathered, but those that followed close to Jesus had to change their plans. They went to Jerusalem. They were going to enjoy the feast, harvest Thanksgiving. But Jesus changed their plans. I don't want you in amongst all the celebrations. I want you to separate yourself and wait upon me. And you know, church, today, we can celebrate this and we can celebrate that and we can go all over the place, keep running around for... I know some Christians just run around for blessings. They've heard that God's doing so, so they run down there. Then they run over here. My friend, God wants to make you the blessing. He wants to have you to himself so that he can pour into you that which is intimate, that which is a relationship between you and God, that which only God can share with you, so that you then by his anointing and his appointment with you can go and take it to the ones he leads you to. I want you to change your plans, says the Almighty. Quickly, I'll go through these 3 points quick. A supernatural event. When you think of Pentecost, scripturally, think of a supernatural event. Nobody could organize what we've just read. There ain't a man, a committee, however holy, however good they are, there's nobody can organize one of these encounters. When the Holy Spirit comes down in such a way, the birth of the church took place in Jerusalem. It was a spectacular occasion, supernatural signs, powerful sermon, an overwhelming response, and the intense presence of a holy God. Fire came down. Whoa. Didn't just come down, sat upon each of them. Nobody were in that prayer meeting that went out the same way as they came in. And friends, you're going to hear the news someday. I don't know when, but you're going to hear the news that, you know, they were meeting together to pray down at that Rock Christian Center. And while they were all praying, just the few of them, you will hear. It will spread like wildfire that while they were praying, the Holy Ghost came down. And the Holy Spirit sat upon each of them in the little room in the Rock Christian Center. And a powerful encounter took place that they'd never ever entered before. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And signs and wonders began to happen on the streets because God had got a people who were waiting for Him. We have to be waiting on Him. We have to be waiting for Him. And in this society of pressed buttons, boom, coffee falls out. Boom, my meal falls out. I've got everything on press button. Hey, boom, heaven. No, it don't work. God don't have no press button society. He says, if they wait upon me, they will find me. If they seek my face with all of their hearts, then I will come amongst them suddenly. And all the yearning of my heart is for the suddenlies of God. Have you noticed these people that were waiting? Well, there's certainly 12 of them. They were all a set of failures. Fancy that. Jesus has poured 3.5 years into their lives. You imagine walking around every day of your life for the next 3.5 years with Jesus Himself. Watching how He did it, listening to how He taught, watching His command over all the powers of hell, seeing how He reacted to situations. What a wonderful, awesome experience of walking and talking with God. But when we come to the true test, when the days are dark, and the trouble is entering their spirits, it says that those disciples, every last one of them, forsook Him and fled. They all did a runner. I know if it had been me, I'd have thought, well, let them take off. I'm going back to the drawing board. Scrub their names. Let's get some better. Let's get some better people written down. You know what Jesus did? He stuck with them. And I want to tell to people in this place this morning that feels that they've let Jesus down, that something has happened in their relationship that's broken, it's severed, and we feel like we're a failure. And we're sat here this morning feeling that it's okay for them, but they don't know what I said. They don't know what I did. I want to tell you, dear brother, sister, I've come here to say it this morning. If you feel you can't serve Jesus no more because of the past mistake, the past problem, the things that happened, I want to tell you this morning, he's come looking for you. He's come looking for you, friend. Because he don't want you to remain broken. He don't want you to remain with no ministry. He's come to revive the ministry. He's come to revive you, to touch your life again. Because he's the God who is the potter, and he never throws the pot away. He molds it, he shapes it, so that it might bring forth his glory. Come on. Let him touch you again. Let him speak into your life again. Let him revive that flagging testimony. Let the Holy Ghost anoint you again. And my friend, you can rise up in God. You can rise up in God. I'm going to have to shut down. But I want to say, have you noticed the guy that was preaching on the day of Pentecost? I mean, the guy that had cursed, swore that he don't know Jesus. Even when a little girl, a little maid comes and says, "You're one of them, aren't you?" "No, I'm not. So-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so." He denies Jesus. He makes a hash of his testimony. He blows the experience, the learning that he had had with Jesus. He blows it. And here he is, a wreck. Here he is, knowing that everybody else knows what he did. How could he stand up and say, "I love the Lord"? Then they would all be thinking, "It's all right for you saying. You love the Lord, we heard you." What about the devil that would come and whisper in his ear, "Oh, how dare you stand up?" How dare you? I want to say, friend, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus comes to a broken Peter. He says, "I want you to wait. I'm going to fill you with the promise that has been spoken about for hundreds of years. Joel gave that prophetic word that I will pour out my spirit. Come on, Peter. Get waiting, because it's coming." Does anybody here believe that church today is only a small example of what church in the future is going to be like? Do you think that Jesus is coming back for a church that's mixed up with trans this and trans the other? I know a church that have painted on the outside of the walls a big rainbow. And before you say glory to God, hang on. LGBT. I want to say it's not their symbol. The rainbow is God's promise. And the devil can try and hijack the promises of God. He can try to do what he wants to undermine the things of God. But I'm telling you, brother, sister, you got to have a right relationship with God for the things that are coming upon the earth. You're going to need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You're going to need to know what's truth and what's not truth. You need to have an experience. Please listen to my heart. I'm not condemning. I'm here to give you the Word of God so that that Word might bring salvation to your life. You can come to this church every week faithfully and go to hell at the end of it. We have to be born again. Have you been born again? Have you had that experience with God when you knew that you had to repent of your sin? When you had to say to God, God, I'm a filthy sinner. I want you to forgive me. Take away my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. How could you die for me, Lord? On that basis, God will meet with you. On that basis, God will come to you and restore your life so that you can walk in relationship with the King. It won't be an excuse to stand before God on the day of judgment and to say to God, God, I used to go to that rock every Sunday and I only miss when I were badly. I'll tell you what you will tragically hear. You will hear this sentence come from the throne room of heaven. Depart from me, for I never knew you. I can't have relationship with God because I bring him my talent. I'm trying to find it as well. My talent. You can't come to God because you're a good person, better than them. You can only come to God the Father on the grounds that Jesus has washed you with his precious blood. When Peter began to speak like this on the day of Pentecost, what a powerful preach it was. He stands up, it's not the same Peter anymore. It's not the bag of failure anymore. Peter stands, and with a boldness that came upon him, he began to witness for Jesus. And as he began to talk, 3,000 people started shaking. The Holy Ghost is moving all over the cities of Jerusalem. And suddenly, 3,000 people are born again of the Spirit of God. They're all baptized in water, and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. I want to say, friend, not judgmentally, have you been baptized in water? It's not a nice little add-on that this church does. It's the command of Jesus. Are you going to start a relationship with God where he's forgiven your sins, but you say, no, I'm not doing that, Lord. No, I'm not getting baptized. Jesus commanded those who are born again to be baptized. I've got many experiences I could share with you, but one of them was I was in an American city. And I saw some of the big, tough gang leaders. I don't mean people that hang out under a lamppost and they threaten to smack you on. I'm on about these that will shoot you and then sit down and have the dinner. Shoot police. Hard and rough criminals. And the power of God got hold of them. They were shaking. I heard one guy say to the other two guys as he was shaking under the power of God, uh-oh, hang on a minute, I don't have this shaking stuff. My friend, when God shakes somebody, it's for a purpose. He shakes the rebellion from them. He shakes the antagonism from their life. And I saw these big, tough guys step into the water. They had a baptismal tank that they just used to pull a curtain and it would open and the baptismal tank were there. It were always ready. And down into the tank, these tough guys went. And when they stood in the water and the pastor prayed over them, they shook like babies. And the Holy Spirit came on them. And they began to speak in tongues. They began to speak in a language they'd never learned. These lads only knew street language. They didn't know nothing about heavenly language. They could only speak street stuff. And yet when the Spirit of God came on their lives, there was a change. that only God can do. A miracle that only God can perform. Come on, I've took your time. Please let's stand together. Friends, this morning, as we come to an end, which is afternoon now, as I look at my watch, I want to say if your testimony has been broken, if you failed and it was your fault, or you failed God and it was that you think their fault, I want to say Jesus comes looking for you today. He knows the end of time, the end of opportunities is coming to a close. But he comes to give you that moment in time when he would call you back. Remember your sin no more and set you on your way serving God with a new testimony, with new authority in your life. Will you let him put back the broken pieces? Let him heal you all again. What about the rest of us? What kind of church do you really want, friend? If you want a church that's just nice to go, don't trouble me, let me go home and have my dinner. Or if you want a church where miracles break out, where souls cry out, this crowd of 3,000 people shouted out, "What must we do?" As they felt the Spirit of God moving in their lives, "What must we do?" And Peter said, "Repent." That's the start point. Repent. Tell God you're sorry for the broken years. Tell God you're sorry for the wasted time. And say, "God, I want to get back in the middle of your plan for my life." Church, what's your prayer for this place? Can we say, "Lord, my top priority is that your Spirit will come down, your glory will be seen, you will anoint our pastors with the mighty fire of your Spirit. May these men of God in this place know such a release." Let's begin to call upon God. I'm not going to prolong this. I want to say, if you want prayer for anything, then you just come out. And we're going to pray over you and pray that the God of miracles will touch you, will restore you, will ignite the fire within your heart, will put together a church that moves. You know, the first thing when Paul in chapter 19... Paul goes to Ephesus, never been there before. Paul steps onto the beach in Ephesus and he meets a crowd of Christians. You know the first thing he said to them Christians? "Have you received the Spirit since you believed?" And they said to him, "We don't even know whether there is a Spirit. We don't know." It says he prayed for them and they all received the Holy Spirit and spake in other tongues. Priority with Paul, priority with Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's begin to sing. Thank you, Franco. If you need prayer, then just come out now. I'm going to hand over to Hillary.